are now listening to the Serious Growth Podcast with your host, Leo Costa Jr.
First of all, Phil, where are you from?
Originally, born and raised in Northwest Detroit.
Northwest Detroit, huh? And now, are you out in California?
I am. Definitely been in California since about 1962.
Okay, sounds good. And I see that you've been a mechanic. You started out as a mechanical engineering designer, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And you worked for GM, Ford, Chrysler, Mid-Michigan, McDonnell Douglas, my goodness, Convair, and...
Convair, that was in San Diego, yeah.
Procter & Gamble. So my question is, how is it that you went from that to the human body?
It's a more challenging machine.
Oh, is that right? You like a challenge, I guess, huh?
Absolutely. You betcha.
All right. Well, good.
That's the thing I like it, yeah.
I like challenges, too. So welcome to Serious Growth. And this is a program where we tell the truth as much as we possibly can, sometimes against the grain, but it's nevertheless the truth. So, okay, so.
Definitely against the grain for all my life.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, when I saw that, and where you went from a mechanical designer to the human body, I just found that pretty challenging there. Okay, so you've completed training as a hypnotherapist and hypnosis motivation. So exactly what does that mean to the layman like myself?
Well, that means that I went through 4 years of training to be a hypnotherapist to help people through their challenges using hypnosis as a tool.
Okay. And who was the person that was her name, I guess, is Karen Halcyon?
Karen, yeah. Karen. She's been my kind of partner for quite a while.
Okay, so you became a hypnotherapist and a motivator. And so are you and her like in business together?
We've had a couple of kids together.
Oh, I see. I see what you mean by together.
Well, in more ways than one, yeah. She helped me establish the school back in 1976.
Oh, okay. All right. And then, so when you've obtained approval from the California Bureau for Private Post-Secondary Education. So is that
That's
like,
correct.
Okay, so is that another... You know, so first you become a hypnotherapist, and then I guess this is another certification?
Well, we got the approval to teach classes in hypnotherapy and also massage training. And actually, I established the first holistic health practitioner program. It's a 1,000-hour program that we started back in 1976.
And what is that? What does that look like, if you will?
Well, my basic position is that Western medicine approaches the human body and sees its frailties in terms of disease. I look at it in terms of dis-ease. In other words, the body is out of balance, is out of function, it's out of homeostasis. So I approach it, I do not treat disease as Western medicine does. I teach health and homeostasis balance, pretty much. So there are many factors to that achievement to get there. And most people are doing things in their lifestyle that put them out of balance. And because the system is out of balance, it shows symptoms of dis-ease or lack of ease, lack of homeostasis, lack of balance. You've got your automobile engine. If you're, let's say your fan belt is out of balance or something, you're going to vibrate. And the way to solve the vibration problem is to change your fan belt. Many times we see symptoms of dis-ease in the shape of pain and discomfort. Pain and discomfort is your body's attempt to get your attention to say, hey, look at here. This is your check engine light.
Right.
Lift the hood and see what's going on. That's what I do. I approach it from the perspective that my job is to translate pain into English. You have pain, I can tell you why the pain is there, and now it's up to you either do something about it or not. That's up to you. But at least we have an understanding of why your body got to the place that it is, why you're hurting, why you can't get any type of satisfaction from your body. There's a reason for it.
Right.
You've done something to it.
Right.
So that's my job.
So let me ask you this, though. If I've gotten to a point, I'll use myself as the example. If I've taken my body to a point, because I'm relating this to my background, is I was a bodybuilder for 20 years. And if you know anything about that sport, it's all about extreme behavior and it's about being out of balance most of the time. The trick there, as you may well understand, is there's a fine line between overtraining and getting extraordinary results. So, and I took it to a point one time in my life that I ended up, blacking out, my adrenal burnout. I mean, I took it to that level. So what happens when a body, here's the question, what happens when a body has taken it so far? Are you still able to repair that engine light, or do you have to use Western medicine first?
Well, if you've broken something, then you want Western medicine to put it back together.
Yeah.
If you've just exhausted your capacity in the moment, you can recover from that. And one of the first things you want to do is stop doing what you did to cause it in the first place.
Right. Okay, so when you do that with somebody, I mean, how do you, you know, obviously, I would think that a big challenge maybe for some people would be to correct that imbalance, because maybe they have a habit that they've been doing for so long. And even though it makes sense, you know, it seemed like it'd be logical to just go down the path of your suggesting. But I know how human nature is. Sometimes, you know, I mean, change is very hard. So how do you get over that obstacle?
How do I get over the obstacle of making changes?
Yeah, for me, if I'm that person who is, I've been, you know, doing this for years now, and it's just finally showing up. You know, how do you get me on the right kind of path? Because I'm, you know, change is hard, even if it's better for me.
Understood. Okay. Well, first of all, we have to understand that this particular machine that we drive around in here has a fuel capacity, and if you put the wrong fuel in, you're going to have spits and sputters. So I go immediately to the digestive system. You could be putting carloads of quote-unquote supplements into your system, but if you can't digest it, you're wasting your time, energy, and money. So I go to the mechanics. I go into the structure of the system to find out if there's anything malfunctioning. And I have a number of tools that I can do that with. But if your system cannot digest your food, you cannot repair your body.
That makes sense. Okay, so then what I'm hearing from you is that the digestive system is where you first go to address a problem. Because one of the questions I was asking, going to ask down the road, was, is there a certain area of the body that you go to? And you just answered that, if I got that right.
Absolutely.
Okay, so walk me down that path then. Okay, so I'm not digesting things properly. So what are the steps that you take to get me back on?
Well, first of all, we have to discover if there is a mechanical problem with the mechanism. Is the stomach functioning well? Is the small intestine absorbing well? Is the large intestine clogged up because you have not been digesting properly? You see, the job of the stomach, first of all, is to accept food from the outside. It has to break it down. Now, food, we're talking about organic material. Organic material has a life. And if you crush organic material and put it in a warm, dark, moist place, it's going to start to decompose. It will do that. Every piece of food that you put into your body has a certain period of time under which it will stay the way it is before it starts to decompose. Now, when you put that in your stomach, sometimes that time will run out very quickly. And then you have decomposing material in your stomach. So therefore, whoever designed this machine, I mean, my hat is off to whoever designed this machine, which from a machine designer perspective, I really appreciate it. The designer of this machine figured that out ahead of time. So built in, the stomach is supposed to be producing hydrochloric acid. You need hydrochloric acid in your stomach to suspend the rotting process in your stomach such that you you stretch that time out so you can digest your food rather than it rotting in your stomach. Once it rots, you can no longer use it. That's it. You're done. Now it becomes a detriment to your system. It becomes a load on your system, which your body has to deal with somehow. And it has to process that. It takes energy to process that rotting material. It has to go someplace. It gets down into the large intestine. And the job of the large intestine is to dehydrate the stuff you just ate. It recaptures the fluids from digestion, puts it back into what? The problem with that is if you have a cess or a compost pile in your stomach to start with, by the time it gets to the large intestine, you have a cesspool down there, a stinking, rotting mess. That's what gets absorbed back up into your blood. Now your body has to do something with it. Go directly to the liver. The liver's job is to detoxify your blood. And then the rest of it goes into the lymphatic system, and that's distributed throughout the rest of your body. All that residue, undigested rotting protein and material goes into your into the lymphatic system. Like I said, it's absorbed into the muscles and connective tissue, and that disturbs the balance in your muscles, and it starts to rub on your nerves, and you end up with Western medicine calls fibromyalgia.
Wow.
Aches and pain.
Okay, so does eating organic food versus non-organic make a difference in this whole process?
Well, if your stomach is not functioning well, it doesn't matter what you put in there.
Okay.
It started off as organic. I mean, in other words, it's alive, or it was alive at one time. Whatever you do to it, chemicalize it or whatever, and then you put it into your body, if your stomach can't handle it, it goes right to the sewer.
Okay. So how do you know, by the skill that you're using on me, how do you know if my digestive system, because you told us the process that happens, but how do you know if I do have a problem? What are the symptoms and things that you're looking for?
Okay. What I have discovered is that there are dashboard gauges and bells and whistles all over this machine. We've got pressure points. We've got command points. We've got acupuncture pressure points. We've got trigger points. We've got all kinds of different signals in the body that what I do is physically poke around in the body looking for sore spots. When I see a sore spot, I can tell which organ is not functioning well. Then we can go in there and find out why. Once we find out why, we can change behavior, and then the pain goes away.
Okay.
And your aches and pains are resolved.
So then are you saying that...
It really is that simple. It's okay. Not complicated.
So then when you go in and you find that sore spot, okay, and you identify the organ, and then is it then at that point that you're doing acupuncture to manipulate that, to if that organ is plugged up or whatever?
Are techniques that we have to stimulate the flow of energy through the organ that is giving us trouble. That's correct.
Okay.
Every organ in the body has a specific job to do.
Right.
In order to perform that job, it has to have a power source. That power source then is your acupuncture meridian circuits. There are 14 different channels, 12 major organ meridians that the power source for the vital organs in your system. So now, if there is a particular organ in your body that's suppressed or it's oppressed, or if there's something that happened to an organ, it either is somehow injured, or it's working overtime, like in processing the rotting material, then there's a load on the system, and the acupuncture meridian circuit is drained, then we have a problem. Because without that power supply, the organ is not going to function well. So again, the designer of this machine saw that ahead of time and built in reserve tanks of energy for the Weidel-Morgan system. The muscles serve as reserve energy capacitors for the Weidel-Morgan system. So therefore, for example, if you have a stomach problem, you might look up here to the pectoralis major muscles, you might look at the sternocleidomastoid muscles, your neck muscles in the back, your biceps muscles. Those are muscles that are robbed of energy by the stomach so the stomach can continue functioning. The vital organs have first dibs on all the energy in the body. So the muscles give up their energy to the vital organs. The muscles then are in short supply. When you try to use your muscles, they can't function because there's only half a tank of gas. Then you end up with aches and pains, and you're also in greater danger of stressing the muscle, or tears, hernias, tears, sprains, strains, prolapses, something of that nature.
All right, let's take a quick break so I can tell you about our product.
Do you want a bone-crushing grip? Good, because you're going to get one with the amazing new TRS Gripper. It's a progressive grip builder with longer handles and a special ergonomic design that's like a dozen hand grippers in one. Start off easy and work your way up to quickly build your grip strength from wet noodle to pulverizing. The package includes a video from the world-famous strength coach, Dr. Russ Horine, the man who worked with Leo Costa to help bring you big beyond belief in the Bulgarian Power Burst. Dr. Horine shows you a simple and easy to follow workout plan that takes just minutes a day right from in front of your TV set if you want. So click on the link below and let's get started building you a stronger, firmer, bone-crushing grip.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense to me. But when you're going through your process that you're touching me or massaging me, the techniques that you're using, does it generally take a while for you to actually correct that if it's in the digestive system? Is it immediate? Is it what kind of a recovery is there?
Well, that depends on the individual. There are some times when just a little flick of an acupuncture point will do the job right there just instantaneously. And there are other people that have been in trouble for a period of time. The body has to then somehow recover, and that sometimes that takes a while to get the system back up to speed. So in answer to your question, everybody is different.
Okay, is there anything that you could do with diet or exercise that can possibly speed that process up?
Absolutely. Oh, you mentioned. I have my little book here, thehumanmachine.com. That's the website, but the Human Machine, the Troubleshooter's Manual, is what I have written. That's volume 3. This is volume 2 here, Blood Chemistry Drives Behavior. These are books that have all that information in it.
Oh, okay.
In order to recoup your original energy. But the biggest problem here is understanding that there's a physical problem in the digesting process that results in your symptom profile that can be rectified. This machine was designed to build itself from its environment and to fix itself when it breaks. It will do that automatically. We don't have to do anything to it. It should do that all by itself. But we booger it up in the meantime, and it can't do that. So we have to unbooger it, so to speak. We have to go backwards and clean it out, clean out the trash, so that the system can function again. And I might add that we build ourselves from our environment. In other words, the food that we get from the environment, if you can't get the proper food from your environment in the first place, you can't build a viable machine even to start with. So we have to take that in consideration also. But most of us are here fairly intact, and we can keep that function going if we pay attention to not only what we eat, but how we eat, under what conditions we eat, And of course, the major function of the mechanical function of the system inside determines whether it's going to go any place or not. But yes, there are dashboard gauges all over the body that we can utilize. You can do it yourself. I can show you where to push, where to press, and then you can keep yourself functioning. That's absolutely true. But there's one kicker here, and that is the problem that we develop over time. The liver is in charge of the integrity of connective tissue in the body. So the energy from the liver determines the integrity and the functions, flexibility of connective tissue. The diaphragm is a big parachute-shaped muscle that separates your chest cavity from your abdominal cavity. There's a hole in the diaphragm that lets your esophagus go through. Now, that hole is made with connective tissue. So if you have a weak liver circuit to start with, in other words, if you came in and your genes were defective, and you have a weak liver circuit to begin with, there's not enough energy in the system to maintain integrity of connective tissue. That hole in the diaphragm has a tendency to stretch. That's a hernia. The hiatus in the diaphragm, the hole in the diaphragm is a hiatus. That's what it's called. And so a hernia of the hiatus is called a hiatal hernia. In that case, the stomach sneaks up through that hole into the chest cavity. The stomach is then pinched. It is physically damaged. Now it gets swollen and irritated and cannot produce the hydrochloric acid necessary to process your food. Now you cannot digest your food adequately, and you end up with all the symptoms that we talked about in the first place. That's where it starts, right there.
Right.
And this is rampant. This is epidemic. Most people have insulted their livers over a lifetime, and it's just not, the stomach is just not capable of handling it. So we have to go back to the liver, support the liver. The liver is affected by the garbage coming in from the large intestine. it's a big circuit or trip here.
Yeah.
So we have to start someplace and work to the point where it's going to take us a little while to get the body back in shape. But it's certainly possible. Absolutely, you betcha.
Okay, so some supplements are not effective. End of story. And that's from my own. That's my opinion. Maybe they just don't work for me. I think there's a few out there that really do they live up to the hype, but so many of them don't. But my question is this: is there something that you can do for the liver to cleanse it, and again to help that process, in addition to the things that you're doing to it?
Sure. You bet. There's all kinds of things. There are a lot of supplements you can take to clean the liver, but here's the problem. If you want to drain your sink is clogged up, you want to drain it, you think it's a good idea to turn the faucet off first?
Okay, I get your point.
In other words, if you continue to pollute,
yeah,
it will never clean the liver, because the job of the liver is to clean
right. The
blood. If you continue to pollute the blood from the sewer system, you're always going to have a compromised liver.
Right.
So you want to start with the sewer, clean that out, then we can support the liver, clean that up, feed. Now we've got energy running, now we can heal the diaphragm so that the stomach doesn't go back up and end up with all the symptoms that you're talking about. Sometimes you'll feel, as a matter of fact, if the stomach gets up there far enough, you'll feel flutters up into here because the stomach is actually pressing against the heart physically. And Western medicine will start giving you drugs for the heart. There's nothing wrong with the heart. There's just somebody knocking on this door, and it needs to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
But then you'll also feel like there's something stuck in your throat, like a pill stuck in your throat sometimes.
Yeah.
You'll feel pain between your shoulder blades. You'll feel pain in your low back. You'll feel nausea, indigestion, aches and pains in your neck. All those things happen as a result of not digesting your food adequately. And because of that, because we cannot digest the food, you cannot get the proper amino acids together so that your body can reconstruct the cell that we need. Every cell in your body has a specific lifetime. It will last for us. It forms, it lives for a certain period of time under which it's useful, and then it dies. Everybody does that. Right, so you have to replace those cells with something. If you cannot get the raw materials from the bloodstream, you cannot replace those cells. Now there's a kicker in here, Tom, too, because your DNA, DNA structure is essentially the blueprint for reconstructing good cells. The DNA is made of nucleotide structures, which are in turn made of amino acid structures. So if you cannot get the amino acids from the stomach, you can't make the nucleotides that repair your DNA. Your DNA now is defective. You're going to start producing defective cells, and you're caught in a loop. You're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So this is one of the reasons why I like this product here. It's called the ImmuneRegen. It's a product that has in it, you're talking about what can you do about it.
Yeah.
This product does offer the whole bottle full of nucleotides, basically.
Yeah.
So you can't get them from your digesting process. You can supplement with this, just try to restructure your DNA so you can start producing good cells so you can repair the DNA and repair your diaphragm so you can get your stomach working and basically priming the pump.
Let me add something to that, okay?
Okay.
What Dr. Zielinski is saying is your body needs the materials, right? We all know when we take anything, our automobile or refrigerator, whatever, to be repaired, we get a bill. The bill is for parts and labor. The labor is your body trying to bring all your organs to homeostasis. Your body is always laboring, trying to bring it back to normal, but it doesn't have the parts. So unless you give it the parts, it doesn't know where to get it. And here's what happens. When you give them the DNA, there are five nucleotides. Four of them are for your DNA, and the fifth one's called uracil, and that's to make your RNA, which then makes the protein that repairs the organs. And that's what Dr. Zielinski is talking about.
Okay. So Dennis, tell me about the nucleotides. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And so I understand that he's telling me that we need something in that product in order to get everything working again, okay, properly. But let me ask you this. There's a couple of questions that I do have, because I also understand, again, from my own experiences, I know that the body becomes its function. It's always trying to adapt to its environment. And
that's correct.
All right. So with that being said, are we a product of what we eat, or do you think that the body can, you know, here's what I've learned in training. I've learned that if you don't overtrain the body, then the body can recover. It'll do that. And even if it doesn't, it will certainly try to adapt to its environment. Now, what about if you got people out there that just can't eat maybe the way that they should? Don't you think that the body can become its function and adapt and still survive? Or does it have to be, if we're a product of what we eat, then does the person that can't eat the way that maybe you're suggesting not have a fighting chance? Or does the supplement that you're recommending, is that the game change in that?
This machine is an extremely resilient and flexible machine.
Right.
It can adapt to just about anything. So you need to choose the level of health that you want to live with, and you can go anywhere in between. You can do maximum or you can do minimum. This machine is going to survive one way or the other.
Right.
And to your question, to your statement anyway, that yes, the body can accommodate. It certainly can. There are systems and backup systems in this machine that will blow your mind.
Right.
This machine can do a lot of different things under extreme adverse conditions. However, my position is, why drive in the ditch just because you can when the smooth freeway is just a couple feet away? If you can do things to minimize your aches and pains, why in the world not? It doesn't take a heck of a lot to do that. And once again, to your statement, yeah, a lot of people that cannot afford to changes in their eating habits. They don't have it available. So, yes, the body can, but you've got to be able to make sure that the structure can function.
Yeah.
If it can't function, I don't care how good your food is or how many aches and pains that you end up with because of the pills that you're taking.
Right.
It's not going to work. Western medicine uses drugs. Drugs are an ass kicker.
Yeah.
Drugs will push the body in the direction that it doesn't necessarily want to go, but when it stops moving, you have to do something to kick it. So this machine should function well if you just give it what it needs. So yes, in my books, I do describe different methods that you can use to repair the inner structure and also to get maximum health. You can also get by on minimum health standards. That's up to you. It's your decision. All I'm doing is giving you the information. You need to take it and run with it.
Right. That's the same thing I do with clients in here because, you know, so, I mean, everything you're saying is logical, but that logic doesn't always work and rationale doesn't always work when you're talking about the human condition and the human machine. It's amazing.
Understood.
And that's kind of where I was coming from. I mean, listen, we all have to be willing and motivated to help ourselves because otherwise I get that. I'm just bringing that up just to hear your response to that. You also said that it's important not only what we eat, but how we eat and the conditions of how we eat. I didn't quite understand the conditions. What do you mean by that? And okay. Actually, both those things. How does that affect us? And then the conditions in how we eat. Let's talk about that for a minute, if you would.
Different foods are made up of different, let's say, amino acid structures. All foods contain proteins, carbohydrates, fats, and sugars. But there are some foods that have a higher concentration of one than the other, or two or three. When you put different types of foods in your body, let's back up and do it this way. This machine is driven by an energy consciousness. We are conscious beings, and we're just living in this machine for a time. The consciousness that is us is the energy field or your aura, whatever you want to call it. It's frequencies that drive the system. Your brain is a translator. It translates that energy into physical chemistry that drives your body. There's a program in your brain that recognizes certain types of foods. And because everything has an aura or an energy field around it, live foods have an aura around it. When you bring that food close to your body, your auras interact, and your brain registers what kind of food that is and starts the digesting process to carry that type of food through. If your mouth is alkaline, your stomach is acid, small intestine is alkaline, large intestine is acid. There's a reason for that. If it didn't make a difference, then everything would be the same pitch. But there is a reason for the difference. So therefore, when you put proteins in your stomach, the proteins need the hydrochloric acid and pepsin in order to break it down. Now, when you put an alkaline in the stomach with the protein, the alkaline will neutralize the acid, which is holding the proteins in suspension so you can digest it. So they neutralize each other. You end up with nothing in the stomach but just water. Now there's the decomposition process takes place. The same thing we did, remember we talked earlier about when the stomach is pinched, you can't digest your food properly.
Yeah.
Well, when you denature the food, when you mix acids and alkalines in the stomach at the same time, they neutralize each other and neither one can progress. Both of them then start to decompose. The proteins will putrefy and the carbohydrates will ferment. Then you have the same process all over again, getting down into the digestive system, getting into the bloodstream, into the large intestine, polluting the bloodstream, polluting the liver, and overloading, you get the same problem. So combining your food adequately and properly will maximize the ability of your body to process your food. So even those who cannot afford to do anything else, if you just merely process your foods in a way that your body can handle it efficiently, you'll reduce a lot of your aches and pains right there on the spot. I describe exactly how that works in my books.
Okay.
You can get that on thehumanmachine.com is my website. You can go there and check it out.
I
describe all that. This, the volume two here is Blood Chemistry Drives Behavior. So I show in that book how we get the blood chemistry and what happens to it as it goes through. And I itemize every step of the way and tell you where the steps are. For every ache and pain that you can come up with, I show you where the beginning of it is and what you can do about it.
Okay.
So you don't need drugs and surgery unless you've damaged your body beyond repair. Then you want Western medicine to come in and put you back together again. They're really good at that. And if they would just stay there and let us show how the body works, I think we'd have an easier lifetime.
Okay. What I like about what you're saying to me, because I'm talking to you now as someone who is someone who doesn't have the background that I do, okay? When you're telling me all this stuff, that overwhelms me because I'm thinking, okay, so I have to eat a certain way, and yet I have no idea what that means as far as eating balance or anything like that. So what I really like about what you're telling me is you can back this up with a book, and if your book is anything like the way you explain your product, yeah, you do a very good job of making it as layman as you possibly can. I appreciate that as a consumer. You know, because I would be freaking out about that. You know, it's like, okay, now what the hell am I supposed to do? You know, so I do appreciate that, you know.
We have choices.
Yeah, I do appreciate that.
My purpose is to explain what choices we have in a realistic world.
Yeah.
And you need to make those choices yourself.
Yeah, no, I like it.
It's really that simple.
I like that. Now, one question I did have is, what's the difference between naturopath and holistic? Are they one and the same?
Well, a naturopath has more of a holistic or comprehensive perspective than, let's say, a Western medical practitioner. Western medicine, number one, is financed by the pharmaceutical industry, so they're taught only drugs and surgery. Yeah. They're not taught consciousness. They're not taught energy fields. They're not taught dynamics. They're not taught how nutrition works. They're not taught any of that.
Right.
So they have a rather narrow viewpoint on how this body works. A naturopath, a traditional naturopath, by the way, has more of a comprehensive viewpoint on the different dimensions of consciousness that make up who we really are and can see the deficiencies in the different energy fields. We're talking here about energy fields as they apply to our life now. We're talking about radio frequencies and EMFs and all that kind of stuff. They're affecting our energy dynamics, which then affect our physical chemistry, which then affect our behavior, which affects the internal mechanism, which creates our aches and pain.
Okay.
So there are many different dimensions of consciousness, and a naturopath speaks to many of those consciousness perspectives. Yes.
Okay, so then is holistic more of a lifestyle?
Yeah, holistic just means more comprehensive. Holistic is taken from the root word holos. It's a Greek word meaning complete or perfect.
Okay.
So we're certainly not going to be perfect here in this dimension of consciousness, but we can get damn close to it.
Okay. And do you believe and do you agree that if you can keep your body in an alkaline state, that it is virtually impossible for your body, for disease to harbor itself?
Let me answer that question this way. Your cells, the difficult cells in your body, must maintain a slightly alkaline bias. If they go acid, then you the cells themselves start to decompose. Every cell in the body must maintain about 20 to 25 negative millivolts of electricity in order to function the way it was originally designed. As that charge balance starts to drop, as your voltage starts to drop in the cells towards zero, you have less and less capacity to rebuild your cells to function. When you get down past zero into positive territory, now that's acid territory. The alkaline territory, it gives you the ability to repair. And when you get down into acid territory, you get down into about 30 positive millivolts of electricity, now you're into an area that supports cancer growth. So conversely, backing that up, if you bring your cell voltage back up out of acid territory, back into alkaline territory, you are not going to see too many cancer cells growing because it can't support it.
Right.
Sugar is acid.
Yeah.
Our cravings for sugar is guaranteeing your voltage drops down below the 20 to 25 negative millivolts into closer to positive territory, and then you're asking for trouble.
Now, when you say that, because I'm that person, and again, I do things for bodybuilding reasons, even to this day, even the way I have my diet set up. And for example, I eat very differently from Monday through Friday compared to the weekend. Monday through Friday is the weekend. It's just, here's how my weekend goes. And I do it because of not only, this is a habit that I had from bodybuilding was I did a lot of carb loading on the weekend. I did that and I carb load heavy because I wanted to put the body into temporary stress on purpose. This is the kind of shit that we do in our sport. I wanted to put the body in temporary stress because when it goes in, and you know all this stuff, when it goes into temporary stress, it goes into a fight or flight, and your body secretes growth hormone. That's what we wanted right there. Now, so my question is this, and I do understand that when things become chronic, at least, again, this is my opinion. I've had some stuff go on with me, and I can attest to some of this, but it's when it becomes chronic. So do you think that if somebody like myself, because I still carb load on a weekend, I eat twice or three times as much on a weekend than I do during the week, but that's how I've got this set up to maintain a certain look that I want and a certain man, I feel good. But I will say this, I feel worse on the weekend. It's because of the sugar. It's a sugar. It's like a hangover. I get that.
You bet.
And I can minimize the effect if I eat more fat with my carb loading. I get that. But here's the real question. How much damage am I really doing if I do this, I go out here, and I'm that person that is not a bodybuilder. I just want to go out here and have fun over the weekend and not give a damn about what I eat. How much damage am I doing to the body, considering the fact that that's a 48-hour stretch before I'm back on my regular, really what you would call a healthy routine?
You're not alone. You are definitely not alone. Let me say this. We talked about fight or flight.
Yeah.
When you're in fight or flight, we are reacting to what we perceive as danger.
Right.
When you go into fight or flight mode, your adrenals kick in. Your adrenals are acidic. Okay, now, when we were still roaming around with saber-toothed tigers, if you ran into a saber-toothed tiger, you look and you get scared and you say, you can run like hell, climb a tree, fight the dragon, you're going to do something to get out of danger.
Right.
When you do that, then everything will settle back down again and you go back to normal.
Yeah.
What you have done is use your muscles to burn up that acid waste and now your body can function. But here's a kicker. When you are in fight or flight, your body must get out of danger. In order to do that, you need 100% of your energy at any one time. You can't just use 75% of your energy. You need 100% to climb a tree, fight the dragon, and do whatever you need to do. Therefore, the digestive system is a big, long, muscular tube. it consumes about 25% of your usable body energy at any one time. When you are in fight or flight mode, your body will shut the digestive system down. It closes the conveyor belt. It stops the conveyor belt or slows it down considerably. Now you're into timing. When the conveyor belt slows down, the timing of the food you're eating runs out of time and it starts to rot.
Yeah.
So if you can't get out there and burn that stuff back out again with your exercise, it loads up and it overloads your pancreas and it overloads your liver. And if you overload your pancreas over time, you develop what Western medicine calls diabetes, and you don't want that. That's not a fun trip.
Right.
You will overload your liver at the same time. And again, the liver is your chemical factory in your body. You want that liver functioning at peak efficiency in order to distribute all the enzymes and amino acids in your system that you need.
Yeah.
So I would suggest or recommend that if you are binging or doing all of your sugar loading during the weekend, get out there and do some exercise to burn it back out again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're tempting fate.
Right. And you know,
right now, since you're young and full of,
well, first of all, I'm not young.
That too. you can get away with that.
Yeah.
But as time goes on, your system is going to slow down.
Yeah.
And that's when we need some assistance.
Yeah.
That's where this amino acid nucleotide product comes in handy. Because you're going to slow down over time. You get to be 55, 60, 65, 70, and your whole system slows down.
Right.
Your DNA slows down the repair process. You're going to need a little bit of a push. You know, back here before 1955, something like that, all cars were made with gear shifts, mechanical shifts. And when the battery died or something like that, you could push start. You know, you do the push, you slap the clutch, and it would kick the engine over.
Right.
Sometimes we need a push start. Once it starts, you can go.
Yeah.
All right? So what we need here is a push start to get us running again so we can handle all these challenges of life. And if you load yourself down with too much baggage, you're not going to be able to climb yourself back out of the hole that easily.
That is very true. Yeah, that is very true. Yeah. One of the things I learned during my carbohydrate loading was when I didn't eat enough fat, because fat, and again, I'm not telling you something you don't know, it's more for the people that are watching the show. Fat slows down the release of the sugar in your bloodstream.
That's correct.
Right? And a lot of people don't know
that.
And when I learned
that
actually was a game changer that way, because otherwise I was just lethargic the whole time. It was brutal, you know?
Well, yeah, because the sugar will overload your pancreas.
Oh, man.
In other words, you get a shot of sugar in your system. The insulin goes to work to soak up that sugar, and then your sugar drops, and you blew it. Right? Now you're down. You go through depression. You go through all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah.
So the oil or the fat mitigates that surge of sugar.
Right.
It evens it out so that you have a steady sugar entry into the bloodstream, so it doesn't overload your pancreas that much.
Yes,
that's very, very true.
I felt all that.
And you can do that. Yes.
Yeah. What do you think about? Because I do this Monday through Friday. A part of what I do, I intermittent fast every day. I do a 14 to 16 hour fast every single day, Monday through Friday. So what do you feel about, what's your opinion about intermittent fasting? Because there's some different opinions out there now. Some say, some of these things are like the next best thing since sliced bread. Then all of a sudden with more research, it goes back and forth. It's kind of like the egg, what happened to eggs and red meat. But what's your stance on intermittent fasting? And how does it help the digestive system?
We have to understand that every body is different. We have different genes from our parents, and they all reconstruct in a different way. There are different blood types. You have A, B, O, and AB type blood. Each blood type processes food in a different way. So what's good for one is not necessarily good for somebody else. One size does not fit all. You'll find some people responding nicely to fasting other people are going to have a real tough time with the fasting. Now, let me point out a very important issue. You're going to have most people with a clogged up large intestine are going to have a very difficult time fasting, because when you're eating, you're diluting the poisons coming in from your digest, from your large intestine. So it's not much of a load. When you fast, you're not diluting the poisons anymore. You get a straight shot of poisons. Now you feel real, ugh. Yeah. Now you're going down.
Yeah.
So fasting for some people is, you have to do it properly. You have to get the sewage system cleaned out first before you do that. But once you're in the zone, so to speak, once you're in the groove, I do that myself. I mean, we're in the same boat. I typically do not eat anything during the day. I have one meal a day. Mm-hmm. I may sip on some juice during the day, or a little bit of food for blood to keep my blood sugar up. But I work all day long. I work 13, 14 hours a day, sometimes 15. And at the end of the day, then I eat something. But for the most part, I don't want to load my system down with food, because the food taxes my digestive system, which taxes my overall system. I want to keep my brain as free and easy as possible so that I can kind of figure out what the problems are that the people bring to me.
You know what, the when I do my diet during the week and the fasting, it takes about, and again, this is something I learned through training, it takes about 21 days to develop a habit where your body can adapt to that. You know, when you're first doing an intermittent fast, oh my God, you think you're going to die and you're starving to death and you're sure that you can't exist, you know, and that's just not true, at least my experiences. But I feel so much better, like what you're saying. I feel so much better when I have nothing in my system. I drink water and I drink coffee, and so it's not like I don't have anything, but I feel so much better doing it that way than I do when I'm actually eating the way I do on the weekend, for example. And again, my weekend is excessive, and I know that, and I'm sure, and you know what, if I would eat a little more moderate, if you will, during the week, I'd be fine too. But I just feel a lot better when I'm intermittent fasting than I am when I'm eating, actually.
Not only that, but your statement there brings up another thought. Your stomach is about the size of your fist, typically, and it's a flexible bag. It's a flexible muscular bag. When you stretch that stomach out, when you eat until your belly is going to bust, your stomach is tight, and it cannot mix the food with the acids and the enzymes in there to properly digest your food. So if you overload your stomach in one sitting, then you're going to end up with rotting food in your system. We go through the whole program all over again that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So eating smaller portions over a longer period of time is more of a healthy approach, so that you can actually process more efficiently the food that you do put in your body.
Yeah.
And because most of us don't really follow these concepts that we're talking about, I would strongly recommend that you try to supplement with these nucleotide bottles, this immunoregen stuff, because most of us have a DNA structure that can't repair itself. You need to be able to, again, jumpstart it. You need to prime the pump. You need to get something going so you can start repairing the cells with good cells. Now, your stent cells are undifferentiated cells that they're produced in the bone marrow of your bones, and they are like, their brain is uncluttered. So right. Once they get up into a society of cells, they take on the ambient of those particular cells and they become those cells. If the cell group that this stem cell meets up with is defective to start with, the stem cell is defective. So even though you're producing stem cells, if you have groups of cells that are defective to start with because they can't repair themselves because the DNA is defective, you're going to produce, and you mentioned earlier that you're talking about chronic problems, that where chronic problems come in, it happens over time, a long period of time. You can't repair it because you can't jumpstart the doggone thing. You can't get it running. You just can't get enough flight speed to get your wings up so that you can fly with this product. bacteria, you can actually do some changes to your DNA and help this process speed up to repair your cells so that you can actually benefit from the food that you're eating and your lifestyle that you're changing.
Yeah. I'm going to talk
about... I explain all that in my book, The Human Machine, The Troubleshooter's Manual.
I want to talk about your chair massage program, but before that, I want to ask you, as far as the methodology, do you think that the doing acupuncture versus massage is one better than the other? Are they synergistic? Are they better when you work them together? What would be your opinion on that?
The acupuncture points are special cells that are designed to hold a greater amount of minerals in them than the surrounding tissue does. And you recognize that the flow of any substance through a conduit creates an electromagnetic force field around it. And your body will then be able to utilize the electromagnetic force flowing through your arteries and your veins and your lymphatics to create the magnetic field, which then is captured in your acupuncture meridian circuits, and you can then stimulate the acupuncture points themselves are like little check valves, and you can stimulate them either with a needle, with heat, with pressure, with cold, with fingers. You can use anything to do that with. If you want to use needles, that's fine. It works fine. Not a problem. You can use finger pressure. But my position, I went through my acupuncture training back in 1980. I got my certification. And right, wouldn't you know it, right when I did that, the AIDS hit the general public. So everybody was afraid of needles.
Right.
So I adapted, and I started using my fingers to do the same thing that the needles would do. And I found that I got more benefit because I was also able to move fluids around and stimulate the tightness in the muscles at the same time that I'm stimulating the acupuncture point. So I got more mileage for my buck.
Interesting. So what is your chair massage program? Is that for somebody that doesn't want to lay down or what? That's a super question, maybe.
Well, actually, we designed that when we were promoting the school. We would go to gatherings, which you can't do now.
Right.
So anyway, we went to gatherings like in school, lunch programs or something like that, and we would set up two chairs. And we'd get all the students around there, and then we'd get people to sit down, and I'd go through just maybe a 10-minute program of acupressure on head, neck, and shoulders. And that was enough to make a huge difference in how people feel, especially the students in school, because their head was all full of information and they were tight, their shoulders got tight and blocking the blood flow. So that little approach works really well. So we still have that program available. It's for meetings. You don't have to lay down or take your clothes off or do anything else. You could just sit down in a chair and have your head, neck, and shoulder work out, and you get the benefit from just that little bit. Of course, there's more. The whole body has reflex points all over the whole body. Hands, feet, chest, back, every place. But the head, neck, and shoulders are really, really tight, and they show a pretty good difference. You can see it. You can feel it. Right?
Oh, I know a lot of people, even here at my gym, it's a studio. It's not really a gym. But I know that over the years, I've learned that people carry a lot of stress in their shoulders because of what you're saying.
You bet.
And one of the things
there's a reason for that, if I can bust this.
Absolutely.
Because the levator scapulae muscle here attaches to your neck, your head, your head, all the way down, and attaches to the medial superior border of your scapula that raises your shoulders like this.
Yeah.
So when you are under stress, you have a tendency to turtle.
Yeah.
And you're utilizing the energy from that muscle. And guess what? That muscle is powered by the same circuit that drives your stomach.
Yeah, interesting how that applies.
Therefore, people with stomach problems are going to have a short supply of energy in that levator scapulae lighter is kept by muscle to start with, and then when you turtle all day long, you end up with a searing sharp pain right down here at your shoulders. And if you can get somebody to just press on it, relax it a little bit, you feel that tension just melt right away.
Interesting. You know, when I have clients that have that issue, what I do, you know, do you know what an upright row is? An exercise upright row?
Yeah.
Okay. What I do with people when they have that, I have them take the upright row and squeeze as hard as they possibly can for about a count of three. And I repeat that about three times and it releases that pressure and they immediately feel better.
Correct.
Kind of what you're talking about.
Dynamic tension, they call it.
Dynamic tension. Correct.
Phil,
listen, I must admit that this has been a very interesting and interview. And one of the things I like, what I'm drawn to with people is when they know their product, I call it to the nth degree. I have a creed. I call it Serious Growth Creed. It's a training course that I wrote, but it's a creed that I live by. And one of them is being a student of the game. You know, there's six components of this. And one of them is, knowing their product to the nth degree. And you certainly are that person. And when somebody knows stuff to the nth degree, they're able to teach it in a way that everybody else in the world can understand. You know, there's some people that you just can't reach. I do get that. But you really, you have an understanding of your program that is, for me, very, it draws me to you. And I'm sure that other people feel the same way. Listen, before we run here, would you like to show your books again and promote maybe a website before we go?
Yeah. The Human Machine, the Troubleshooter's Manual here. This one is the hiatal hernia syndrome. And I've had a lot of good reviews so far. As a matter of fact, people say just exactly what you said. It's written in a way that the average idiot on the street, even PhDs, can understand. I wrote it pretty simple. Yeah. And this one here is volume two, which is Blood Chemistry Drives Behavior. This one is the one that pretty much is the Bible that has all the information in it on how to keep your blood chemistry intact. Now, the volume one, I don't have a copy of it right here with me, but that one is Structure Governs Function. The shape of something determines how it's going to be used, how it can be used. We are all different shapes and sizes, and consciousness expresses itself through these different shapes and sizes, and you're going to see a different personality, a different structure coming through to different people. So this volume number one gives you an opportunity to see the structure and relate it to a behavior. So that when you see a structure, you know what behavior to expect. So you can, ahead of time, you can negotiate your life so that you minimize problems or difficulties with certain types of people. You're going to get along with certain types of people with a certain structure. You're probably not going to resonate with certain types of people. Those are the people you want to stay away from. It's extremely important in picking business people, business associates, marriage partners, learning who your kids are so you know how to teach your kids in a way that they can understand it instead of whack, bang, do this because I said so.
Right.
These are the ways that you can actually learn to react with certain people. I've done a number of workshops with this book number one, Information, and we've had a lot of fun doing it. Everybody learns in a circle who everybody else is, and everybody starts resonating and gets along very well.
That would be fun.
All this stuff you can learn on my website. It's thehumanmachine.com.
Excellent. Well, with that being said, I want to thank you for taking your time to come on this show. We had a little bit of a hiccup there in the beginning, but, you know, it's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Well, Dennis might be able to give you a little bit more information on the product. This is the bottle right here that I mentioned this in the book, too. I show how to use it in the book.
Okay.
So the Bible is a bottle of nucleotides. So Des can probably give you a few more pointers about it than I can at this point. But my major focus right now is to try to change the health consciousness of the planet We've been way too far one-sided. We need to start looking at who we are, what we are, so that we can get along better with one another, so we don't have to beat, scream, and beat each other with to a pulp here because we don't feel good. Yeah. I want everybody to feel better so we can get along peaceably with one another and change the doggone planet. That's my goal.
That's a good, unique selling proposition, I'd say.
Let me interject for a minute. Now, he's talking about the gut and the brain, right? There was a study done with mice taking that product. The villi in there grew to where it filled up the cavity to where the communication now with the gut and the brain is so much better. Right, Doc? If you have the villi clean and nice, where it can communicate the electrical signals with the hypothalamus and the pituitary in your brain, that controls every other organ in your body.
Right. And one of the things I learned firsthand for sure was the importance of the mind and muscle connection, which is what you're talking about.
Correct. So,
anyway, I'm waiting for actually...
Your product is on the way. I talked to the president. I'm on my way to see him right now after this.
Okay, sounds good. And Phil, I've actually talked with Dennis on a podcast about the product, so I'm waiting to get on it, and I'm expecting really strong results, and maybe we can do this all again.
Thank you.
Excellent. You betcha.
All right.
I'm open anytime you want.
Listen, not only do I want you guys to have a good day, but I want you to have a meaningful day.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I will do that.
That is an order.
Yes, sir.
See you guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Take it easy.
Dr. Phil, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Serious Growth Podcast. For more episodes like the one you just listened to, subscribe to us on your mobile podcast app and leave us a review. If you'd like to reach out, you can find us online at seriousgrowth.com. Until next time, train smart and train hard.